Blog Talk Radio.
Song called Getaway Car that I did with a band 2 years back. It was a lot of fun, all improvisational music we did, and awfully good time. We just plug in our equipment, drummer would sit down, and we'd all just go to work. The singer would make up lyrics, and anyway, rest is history. I have a webpage if you want to check out the music that we did. It's pretty off the wall, and it's not the best in the world, considering it was just completely improvisational, done by amateur musicians who just try to push our own envelopes, and an awful lot of fun. Anyway, welcome to my show, everybody. Today is the 5th of January, 2017. We've reached already. Been quite a year, 2016. It was a hell of a tough year for me. Won't get into the details, but had quite a bit of in the way of family illnesses, and my dad died and had some other things happen. It was a long year. And anyway, glad to get 2016 out of the way. It was quite a long year. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself and about other people, and miss my dad an awful lot, and learned about it an awful lot about my own mortality. And anyway, looking forward to this year and making some positive things happen with me and people around me and the world at large, if I ever have the opportunity to affect such a large population, or even just a few people locally, whatever. Anyway, I consider myself, I call myself the iPragmatist on the internet. I have an IP or an email address of iPragmatist@gmail.com. Feel free to write to me. Please don't spam me. I've got pretty good spam filters, and I don't, if you're abrasive in general, I won't reply. But if any of you do end up listening to this show and you want to know more about what I've talked about, I've got an awful lot of websites I frequent that give a lot of information about a lot of different topics that I do tend to talk about. And anyway, I always try to preface any of the work I do here on Blog Talk Radio with letting people know that I am not at all politically correct. I will use profanities in my shows. I do quite often. If you don't like hearing four-letter words, sometimes pretty abrasive words, then you probably shouldn't listen to my program. And I use it more for emphasis on things, and I don't use words that aren't in dictionaries. So if a word's in the dictionary, I find it fair game to use. So for example, I'll say fuck, and might apply to a person to say, what a fucking asshole. Okay, so again, if that offends you, do not listen to my program. I'm also not politically aligned. I have to say I'm thrilled that Donald Trump won the election, more so because Hillary didn't win the election than I am a Trump supporter. I think Trump is hopefully, I'm hoping he's going to be a breath of fresh air. He might not be. He might just turn out to be a typical politician like we've had, where he falls into the same patterns and he's corrupt and whatever. I don't have a whole lot of respect for liberals, conservatives, Democrats, or Republicans. I just don't. Many years ago, I considered myself a Republican. I don't consider myself aligned in any way, shape, or form. Just after 8 years of Obama and what I consider just an absolute worthless 8 years, I'll leave it at that. I'd use stronger language, but I don't really feel like it right now. I just think he's done some incredible damage to our country, to our psyches, to the world community, as far as how they look at the United States. And Bush did too, Clinton, so did Reagan. I mean, I'm not picking on anybody, but I am picking on Obama, because we're getting done with 8 years of this guy. And if you listen to any of my other shows, you'll hear me talk about how I don't believe he has a valid U.S. birth certificate, therefore he's not a legitimate president, and we put up with 8 years with this guy not being a U.S. citizen, in my estimation, and therefore we've had him do some really bad things as far as setting up security apparatuses that are spying on us, and he's totally on board with the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, if you know what that is, if you don't, look it up, and a lot of other things where he's stolen our rights, and he's been pushing anti-gun laws and on and on. Anyway, I don't like the guy. I don't like Bush either. I don't like Clinton. So, again, don't at all try to peg me as a Republican or a conservative. I am a bit conservative in my views about finances, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So anyway, that's about it in a nutshell. I don't tend to do shows very often, been very busy with all the stuff that has been going on in my life. And so I feel a bit anxious and relieved when I'm able to get a show going. I tend to talk off the cuff, so that's another thing you'll understand about me. I'm not looking at any notes or anything right now. I'm just looking out my window, and that's how I tend to do my shows. I don't have call-in set up yet for callers to call in who might be listening. I don't have many people listen to my shows. I only have a few friends, and I don't have Facebook. I don't have a Twitter account. So I'm not into social networking at all. I'm a network engineer by trade, but I don't like social networking at all. I'm just not that type of guy. I'm very conversive, and I'm very outspoken, but I don't at all like to be on those websites, especially Facebook. I think that is a bad place to be, and it's being shown to be filtering a lot of news as of late, especially stuff about Trump and other things. And I just don't believe in what Facebook's doing. I think it's just a data mining type of operation for the government and the security agencies than it is for anything else. And I just don't find time to get on that website. And I used to years ago, but I quit quite a few years ago, and I just don't have any interest in that type of stuff. So anyway, I get long-winded on this type of stuff at the beginning of the show. But anyway, I'm going to start with understanding of economics, and understand I have a four-year degree in economics from a really nice university, real fine university here in the United States. I'm not going to name it, but I have studied an awful lot about economics, as you can imagine, having a four-year degree in it. And I'm going to talk a bit, it's going to be a bit simplistic, so if you're out there and you happen to be an economist, or you tend to know more than I do about this stuff at this point, I don't practice being an economist. I'm a network engineer, like I said. The reasons for that, not the least of which, I have a four-year degree in telecommunications, a two-year degree in electrical engineering technology, and I've worked in telecom and IT for 20 plus years. So I have quite a bit of technology background, and that's where my space is presently. I also have an MBA, and the fact that I have these four degrees, I'm not trying to put myself in a position of being any more intelligent than anybody else or better than anybody else or anything else. But when I bring up the topics that I do in my programs, I come from a standpoint of being pretty well read as far as things I understand, and I research pretty heavily before I tend to make blanket statements. I won't just slam Obama because I don't like the guy. I'll slam him if I find something that he's done that I disagree with that I think is wrong. That's why I consider myself a pragmatist. If you know what pragmatism is, it's just being practical. You do things that make sense. You don't do things that don't make sense. If you do something that's going to hurt somebody, that doesn't make sense. If you have to choose whether you're going to hurt one person or another, or one group or another, whatever, you really have to look at what the end game is going to be, and you have to make an educated guess as to the best path. And anyway, that could get really deep. I'm not going to get into that whole thing. But again, suffice it to say, I at least know some things about economics. It's been a while since I had got my degree, but I'm going to talk about something here that's a fairly pet peeve of mine. And a couple years ago, this is where I'm going to start this whole thing. A couple years ago, down at an AM/PM where I live, small town in upstate New York, the air pump that they had up until a few months ago, the air pump was provided. You had to pay for the air that you put into your tires in your car. That's what this air pump was for. And the company that actually provided this air pump to the AM/PM was called Please Feed My Starving Children. So you walked up to the air pump unit to put your quarters in, and on the front of it said, "Please feed my starving children." And that pissed me off, and I'll tell you why, but I'm going to tell you one more quick thing here, another pet peeve, and it's going down a similar vein. I have noticed lately that there are quite a few commercials on television. This has been going on for quite some time, but the commercials on television really seem to be much more repetitive than I've ever seen before. And once in a while, you might see an ad for a prescription drug, or you might see an ad for a car or whatever. Now, if you watch a certain channel, invariably, they're going to show one, two, or three commercials almost every single break in the show that you're watching. One of the commercials I've noticed that they're showing an awful lot is commercials about things like the Shriners and cancer organizations asking for donations to help kids with cancer, for example. That pisses me off. Okay, it's not that I don't believe in helping kids with cancer. I believe in helping anybody we can with cancer. I believe in helping people who are starving. I believe in helping homeless people. And so it's not just cancer related. It's not children related what I'm talking about here. What really pisses me off to a tremendous extent is the fact that the government is taxing us. And I'm talking more of the federal government, that we have local and state governments that tax us too on property taxes and sales tax and that kind of thing. But the government, the federal government, taxes us on income. Now, if you know anything about that, in the Constitution, maybe it's the Bill of Rights, it's one or the other, or maybe both, but I believe it's in the Constitution, it makes it illegal for the federal government to take our income in the form of taxes. They can tax us on profits that we might make if we sell something. But by law, they are not supposed to be able to tax us on our income. And you can look this stuff up. I don't make up anything that I talk about. If I bring something up like this, it's factual. And you can go on YouTube, for example, and there was a guy, I believe his name was, his last name was Russo, R-U-S-S-O. I think his first name was Renee. No, that would be the actress. What was his name? Andre something Russo. Anyway, he was very outspoken about the federal government taking income taxes. And he actually brought in somebody from the government, a very high-level person, and challenged that person, this man. And he got this guy from the government to admit that the government, it was illegal for the government to take income taxes. And this Russo guy ended up dying something like 6 months later. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I think he put himself in a very dangerous position by exposing the fact that the federal government is taking our income taxes. Anyway, with that being said, for the last at least 1 or 2 years under Obama, I've listened to radio reports, or I've read about it, that the federal government, every single month, month after month, they have been taking more tax money from us than the month before. And this has been going on for quite some time. It probably happened under Bush. I wasn't studying this stuff under Bush. But under Obama, they keep taking more and more money from us every single month, every single year, year after year. They take well over $4 trillion, I believe, per year from us in the form of income taxes. Okay, so setting the stage now for the economics side of this, and understand again, this is going to be pretty elementary. There's a lot more involved with this as far as interest rates and banking and whatever. But the way we need to look at what I'm talking about is this. The government does not create wealth in any way, shape, or form. All they do is they take money from us that we create, wealth that we create, and they take it from us and they give it to themselves in the forms of benefits and salaries that they keep raising while we, at least situation I'm in, I don't get raises, I don't get bonuses, I don't get a whole lot. It's just the company I work for, but the economy is not doing very well. There are actually something like 101 million people in this country, working age people who are out of work. But of course, the Obama administration, the government, will not admit that there are that many people out of work. Instead, they tell us that we have something like 4.5% unemployment, which is complete bullshit. I mean, it's laughable, if it wasn't so sad and scary at the same time, that they get away with lying the way they do. Anyway, the government can print money, but that's not creating wealth. The way money is created is by people like us who go to work for other people, other companies, whatever. And we work and we earn some value from whoever we are working for. So here's an example. I fix computers once in a while. I used to do it as a business. Let's say I go to your house, you have a problem with your computer, you see my advertisement on the internet or in a phone book or whatever. You call me up, I go to your house and I work for a couple hours and I fix your computer. And you say, how much do I owe you? Before banks came around and developed the dollar and the money system and all this stuff, I may very well have said to you, give me dinner for the next 3 weeks, every day for the next 3 weeks in a row, and we'll call it even. So I would have created, under that kind of a system, it's pretty silly, but keep following me here, I would have created 21 days of dinner worth of value, of wealth. And you may very well be an accountant, and I might need somebody to do my accounting, and I might call you and you say, okay, well, come into my office. I go into your office and you spend an hour with me and do my taxes or whatever. And I say, okay, well, how much do I owe you? You might say, well, you owe me 2 weeks worth of dinners. So you just created 14 days of dinner wealth. So I'm still 7 days of wealth ahead of you. If you change the dinners to dollars, I may have charged you $100 for the work that I did on your computer. Now, this is because banks created the dollar and money and currency and all this stuff. And that's why I'm not going to get into the whole banking aspect of this, but it should be pretty simple to follow what I'm saying here. And you may very well have charged me $75 to do my taxes. So you have $75 that you can go out and use to buy things from other people, and I would have created $100 worth of wealth that I could go out and spend on things. I could buy CDs or a stereo or a guitar or whatever. And that's how the system works. So we have millions of people in this country, hundreds of millions of people in the U.S., and many of us go out on a given day and we cut trees down for people, or we own restaurants and we cook meals for people, or we're accountants and we do people's taxes or whatever. So hundreds of millions of people in this country, pretty much every business day, let's say, go out and do what they do, and they are accumulating wealth, value that they have created by offering what they're good at to other people, and they get some kind of a reward from that, whether it's money or free trips to different places in the world or whatever. We create wealth by working. The government doesn't. And a lot of people think the government creates wealth. They don't create wealth. They take it from those of us who are working and creating it and trying to make wealth for ourselves. So the government as a system is parasitic. They're parasites. They're not even supposed to be able to take our wealth when we go out and work for somebody. I mean, think about it. You sit on your ass all day. You're not creating wealth. So at the end of the day, you don't have any wealth to go out and buy anything. You don't have any value that somebody's going to need. So you're broke, essentially. Those of us who get up off our asses every day and go out of our way to get busy and work hard and do things for other people, we create wealth. So at the end of the day, we have a little bit more wealth than we had the day before. So we accumulate wealth. So all of us, hundreds of millions of us, and billions of people across the planet, every day or every week day or whatever, we are all trying to create wealth for ourselves so that we can use that wealth to buy houses or cars or food or whatever, trips to other places, vacations, whatever. So the government comes along, and they realized many years ago that we were all doing this. And these bastards came along and they said, oh, we don't like the fact that you guys are doing this and you're creating wealth and you have this system where you all owe each other wealth and dinners and this. And so, again, the banking system comes into play. So now we all have a certain amount of money. And the government comes along and says, we don't like the fact that you're creating $100,000 worth of wealth every year. We're going to take 30% of that or 40% of that or whatever. They're not supposed to be allowed to do that. That's against the law. That's against the Constitution. But that's what these bastards do. They're fucking assholes. Now, the problem that I really have with it, I don't like paying taxes. And any of you who are going to say, oh, I think we all should pay our fair share of taxes, I'll tell you what, double the amount that you pay in taxes, I won't pay any, and you can feel doubly good about the amount of taxes you pay, because I shouldn't have to pay a goddamn penny to the federal fucking government for income that I go out and earn on my own. They should not know how much I earn. They shouldn't have any right to take my money, because it's in the Constitution that by law they are not allowed to take money from us. Now, here's the real problem and the reason I'm bringing this whole thing up. All of us working in this country create a limited amount of wealth every year. And let's say it's, I forget what the total economy is. Let's say it's $20 trillion or whatever of total wealth that we, that all of us, hundreds of millions of people at the end of the year, after 1 year, I don't even think it's that much. I think it's something like $10 trillion. Anyway, let's say it's $10 trillion. The government comes along and then sends us, we get our W-2s from the companies we work for, the 1099s, whatever, if you're a contractor, all this stuff. And we end up having the government saying, hey, you owe us this much money for having created wealth. And once they do that, that wealth is gone from those of us who earned it. Okay, so that's a very important concept to understand. That's a concept I want to get across here in this portion of this show. We all, working as hard as we do, at the end of the year, we've created just a certain amount of wealth. Again, let's hypothetically say it's $10 trillion. The government comes along and says, well, we're going to take $4 or $5 trillion of that. So sorry, but we're going to take it from you. What that does is it leaves all of us who have created the wealth for ourselves, we work our asses off, and the government fucking takes a huge portion of that, and we all, collectively, hundreds of millions of people, have a tremendous amount of our wealth taken away. So we have less money. Each one of us individually now has less money to spend on things like vacations or good food or restaurants or sneakers for the kids or soccer balls or houses or cars or whatever. We are all left with less money, less wealth than if the government didn't take this from us. That in and of itself should piss people off. But if you think about the concept of that, if I get taxed a certain amount of money, the government takes what I earned. Let's say I didn't use any resources. Let's say I never drove a car. Let's say I'm not polluting the air. And let's say, so I don't burn gasoline. I'm not having my oil changed in my car. Let's say I stay in my house and I use my telephone and I make sales calls. I might use a couple pieces of paper, have you sign here and say I sell insurance or something. I'm not really causing any damage to the earth. I'm not polluting the air. I'm not doing anything. There's no fucking reason the government should be taking fucking money from me. That's where I'm heading with this. Now, if you're a company and you're huge and you have big tractors and machines that are spewing all kinds of shit into the air, you should be taxed more than I should be taxed, because there's a reason why you should be taxed, because you should be helping cleanup efforts. Let's say say the oil rigs that blow up and they spew all kinds of oil into the ocean, or the ship that ran aground out near Washington and Oregon about 20 years ago. And the captain was asleep or he was drunk or something, and they ran aground and all that oil, millions of gallons, I think, hundreds of thousands of gallons, whatever, of oil leaked out, and it killed all kinds of wildlife and that kind of thing. If you're the owner of a ship like that, you should have to pay taxes. Now, if all of us have to pay taxes, I shouldn't have to pay much if there's no danger to the environment or anything else that I can possibly cause. But if you have these big, huge oil ships flying around in the ocean and they're running aground and they're destroying wildlife and beaches and whatever, and just destroying the all kinds of things, and just you could just imagine the things that happen when these oil spills happen, that kind of thing. Companies that do that type of thing, if we all have to pay taxes, they should have to pay a shitload of taxes. I don't believe in paying taxes, income taxes, to the federal government in the first place. But GE, a few years ago, they made something like $4 billion And they didn't pay, they paid zero taxes. GE. Imagine all the plants, the warehouses and the plants where they manufacture things, and all the soot and all the smoke and all the shit, all the chemicals that they spew into the environment, into the air and everything else. And they don't pay any taxes because of the way the tax laws are written. So anyway, getting back really to my main point. When we get taxed, we have less money now, each one of us, to go out and buy things. And that makes the economy start shrinking, which has been happening under Obama. It happened under Bush, and it did for a while under Clinton as well. But it got even much worse under Obama, over the last 8 years of Obama. And they keep taking more and more taxes from us every single month, every single year, and have been for a long time. So again, now I'm sitting back and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so here's where it really starts to piss me off. They're taking all this money and they're going to war in other countries and spending trillions of dollars to bomb other countries. They're killing children. They're maiming children. They're causing disfigurements of children. They're causing children to be born with deformities and all kinds of things. Look up depleted uranium bombs that they used in Iraq, our military. There are certain areas where our government, our military, put uranium, which is highly toxic to living things, they put it into the heads of the warheads of their missiles and such things. And they use those on tanks because the depleted uranium helps to make a bigger explosion, from what I understand. But the uranium then gets spread all over the ground. And these kids, young kids, then later on after the war in that area is over, these people are walking through these areas. They're getting radiated. And these women who are in these areas get pregnant. And they're having kids with two heads, four eyes, five arms. I mean, look up depleted uranium in Iraq, Google it, and then look at the images for it, and look at how deformed these poor kids are. It's horrifying. It is totally unacceptable. So these bastards in government are taxing us and taxing us and taxing us and taking more and more of our money. They don't create their own. Understand that. We don't get to take their money. They take our money. They give it to themselves in the form of big taxes, and they buy there's huge palaces, and they keep raising their own salaries and this stuff. And they spend it on militaries and bombs and planes and shuttles and all kinds of things. They then, because they spend so much money on their own projects, the kids that are on these commercials or on that company, on that air pump that I'm talking about down at the AMPM where you fill up your tires, please feed my starving children, those companies be funded by the government if they're taking our tax dollars. That's what pisses me off about this. And it's very simple economics to understand what I'm talking about. We create money. And then the government takes it from us. So we can't spend it on ourselves. They take it. They make government much bigger. They all live great. They're all eating great food, clean water. They all have nice houses. They get chauffeured around. They have bodyguards. They have everything paid for from the money they take from us. And they spend it on militaries. They go out, our military that goes out and bombs other countries, kills other countries' leaders, maims children, maims parents for that matter, kills people. And there's very little money left for the companies that need the money for cancer treatments for children. And that is going to end this segment of what I'm talking about on the show. That pisses me off to an extent I can't even begin to explain it, and maybe I have, but I cringe, I shudder when I think about how pissed off I get about this whole concept. If they're going to take that kind of money from us so that we can't live better, they ought to be giving it to those companies that are trying to help people with cancer, especially children, and other diseases for that matter. But they're not doing that. And there are more and more homeless people. And these governments then turn around and have the audacity to stick these poor homeless people. If you're homeless, I'll tell you, that would fucking suck. Think about it. If you're out there and you're listening to my show and you live in a fairly decent apartment or house or whatever, don't cry the blues about how bad you have it. Don't even begin to do that, because I've seen homeless people in the middle of winter, which it is right now. I gave money to a guy the other day. He was a Vietnam vet, or a recent, I think it was Iraq vet or Afghanistan or something. And he found himself homeless for whatever reason. This guy's standing out in sub-zero temperatures in upstate New York saying, please donate, or I'll work for food, or whatever his sign said. And some people who do that, maybe they're lying and they're just trying to get money. Okay, I'll give you that if you're going to try to argue that kind of point. But there are an awful lot of homeless people who can't find work. And there are more and more white men who are homeless, by the way. And there are very few social programs for white men, by the way. There are very few shelters that will take white men, by the way. And don't tell me I'm a racist. Don't even go there. Go make a comparison. Google social programs for white men, and then Google social programs for minorities. And you tell me how many more social programs there are for minorities than white men. And you can sit back and say, well, white men have it made. No, white men don't have it made. I don't have it made. I work my ass off, and I don't have a whole lot to show for it. Why? Because the government keeps taking more and more for themselves, for wars, and then there's very little that they give to anybody else. And just one final point, a point I'm going to make about this in support of what I'm talking about. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you don't necessarily understand it, or you don't believe me, or you don't like what I'm talking about, read up on Google, do your research. I've done it myself. And just read up on how many black people are worse off after 8 years of Obama than they were before Obama took office. Read up on that. How can you elect a black president and really believe in a guy as a black person? How can you vote for Obama and you believe him when he's saying, oh, I'm going to make things better for minorities, whatever? There are a lot of minority groups that are much worse off under Obama, especially inner city blacks. Look it up. I know what I'm talking about. Obama has done nothing for anybody in this damn country except make us all poorer. He's harmed the economy, and I could go off on a tangent on that whole thing. And it's because he and his Congress and everybody else, the military and the Defense Department and all these groups, the NSA and all these spy agencies, the FBI, the CIA, they keep getting more and more of our money every year. We get nothing back from it except for a bunch of people who spy on us. They listen to our phone calls. They kick our doors in at 2 o'clock in the morning. They can arrest us for no reason at all. And again, I could go off on a tangent on that, and I'm not going to. The only point that I'm trying to make overall, again, is that the government is taking so much of our money that we don't have a whole lot to ourselves. And I just think that that's awful when I have to see commercials on television where I'm being told that companies trying to help kids, hospitals and such things, doctors, don't have enough money to help children with cancers and things. And it's because the government takes from us and they spend it on things they shouldn't be spending it on. And there's so little money left that the hospitals or these groups trying to help kids or people with cancers and diseases, whatever, the government doesn't have any more money to give to those people. So they turn around and start asking us for money after we've been raped by the government through taxation. That pisses me off, and it should piss you off too. Anyway, that leads into the next part of this conversation I wanted to have here, and I'm going to go through the next bit of this. I only have, I think, 20 minutes, 19 minutes. I always do this. I always get really long-winded in my talks here. But there are... I'm talking about companies that don't pay taxes. There are also people who are so wealthy that they're able to get accountants and they have loopholes they can use so they don't pay much in taxes either. Warren Buffett pays less as a percentage of his millions of dollars he makes every year. He pays a smaller percentage of his income than his secretaries do. He pays something like, I forget, 22% of his income is taxed or something like that. And yet his secretaries pay something like 30, 35% of their income. And when you make less than somebody else and you pay a higher percentage of taxes, you get hurt a hell of a lot more than the wealthy people do. And I'm talking really wealthy people here. This is they piss me off as well. And again, it gets back to what I'm talking about just a few minutes ago, about the whole thing of not helping people and how they're destroying our wealth, taking it from us so that we can't build businesses, we can't buy things. When the malls across the country are closing in droves. Look how many malls are closing. And they're very expensive, so maybe they deserve to close. Survival of the fittest. Internet sales are skyrocketing, so why would people go to malls? I mean, it makes sense. But we have so much less money. This past Christmas, for example, I've read, and I haven't followed up on it, so I don't know the true statistics, but I've read that the spending on this past Christmas on Christmas gifts was one of the highest, if not the highest ever. But it was also, I believe, the number of people using credit cards to buy Christmas gifts than there's ever been before. Now, think about that concept. If you didn't have all this money taken from you by the government year after year after year, decade after decade after decade after decade in your whole life, if you didn't have millions of dollars taken from you by the goddamn government, you'd be in a much better place to have a retirement or give money to your kids, your grandkids, buy a better house, have a good retirement, live well, take vacations that you deserve at 70, 80 years old if you have the money. And yet the government keeps taking this. When you take somebody like the Queen of England, I've read reports that she's worth something like $30 trillion, that she alone owns 30% of the landmass on this earth. Now, that may sound insane, but I'll tell you what, look it up, read up on it. Bill Gates is the wealthiest man on the planet. He's not even close. The Rothschilds, we never hear about them. They're said to be worth trillions of dollars. The Rockefellers, I know, worth probably tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars, maybe even trillions, I don't know. But some of these families have trillions and trillions of dollars. And they don't do anything to help poor people in Africa, for example. They don't help kids who have cancers. They just hoard this money. They're fucking pieces of shit. I barely make ends meet, and yet I'll give the last $5 or $10, $20 I have in my pocket to somebody I believe is really having trouble as a homeless person. I'll sure as fuck give what I have at that moment. I got a friend of mine, he's doing pretty well for himself, so he's able to do this. But he and his wife, during the winter, they throw boots and clothes and blankets and gloves and hats and things in the trunk of their car, and they drive around in the inner cities and find homeless people, and they stop and they open up the trunk, ask the people what they need. They'll even give them food, and they give them clothes to help them keep warm. I mean, why isn't the government fucking doing this? It's because they're stealing money and keeping it for themselves, and that includes the wealthy people. Nancy Pelosi, any of you idiots in California, you vote for that mongoloid? And I shouldn't have said mongoloid. That's not a good word. I didn't mean something like that. That just pitiful lowlife. I'll leave it at that. She went into Congress. And again, I've read this somewhere, and my numbers may be off a little bit. But she and her husband, when she got into Congress, 30 years ago or whatever, she and her husband were worth something like, they had a net worth of something like $5 million. Now it's said that they're worth something like $85 million. Now, how over the course of, say, 30 years, even if it was that long, how do you accumulate $80 million getting paid a couple $100,000 a year as a senator or congresswoman, congressperson? There's a lot that goes on. These people are so corrupt, it's awful. And they don't help other people. And that's my point. And that really bothers me about the truly wealthy. People talk about Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation. He doesn't do shit for people. I mean, here's a guy who said he has $75 billion and he might give $100,000 to this school or $1 million to this organization or whatever. Really, Bill? And you keep holding on to that, that you want that number one slot where people around the world all say, oh, wow, there's Bill Gates. He's worth $75 billion. And he feels good about himself. I'd feel like shit if I had that kind of money. I really would. I might keep a billion. I mean, how could you not live well on $1 billion? I'd be very careful where I did give my money. But I wouldn't in any way, shape, or form worry about whether I had $75 billion or $1 million. I wouldn't even care. I would make sure I was comfortable and would always be comfortable and my family would be comfortable. But I wouldn't find the need to have the kind of money that these people have and not try to actually help people. And I don't believe for a second that he truly likes to help people. As a matter of fact, I don't think he likes people at all. That'll end that portion of what I wanted to talk about. And just a quick point, too. Have any of you noticed, if there's anybody out there maybe listening to this program, you ever noticed that the rich people never seem to die? George Soros, what is he, 90? David Rockefeller's 101. The Queen is 87 or something, Queen of England. I forget how old the oldest Rothschild is, I think in the 90s. And you can just keep going on and on. Kissinger, Henry Kissinger. I mean, my God, what is that guy, 320 years old or something? I mean, look at these people. You look at them. They don't die. And, of course, with all the money they have, they probably have all kinds of blood filters and infusions and special vitamins and all kinds of stuff. They have to. They have the best doctors, the best health care programs, and we get stuck with this fucking Obamacare horse shit. Premium costs are going up. You can't keep your doctor anymore like Obama said you could. He lied again. We have fewer and fewer companies actually supporting Obamacare, so we have fewer choices, fewer products and services that we can utilize. With the increased money that we have to pay for Obamacare, we get less. So we pay more and get less. That's typically what happens with the fucking government. And that's part of my rant today. The government sucks. Not all of them. There's some really good people in government. And I'm going to end this talk on geoengineering and chemtrails. There's so many people out there, a vast majority of people don't believe in chemtrails. And I'll tell you something, chemtrails are real. I've been studying them for a long time. I know people have been studying them for a long time. I live in a small town south of Rochester, New York, near the Finger Lakes. I haven't seen sun. We haven't seen sun in this town where I am for well over probably 2 months. And I'm talking sun that lasts even 20 minutes, 30 minutes. You might see the sun come out in a semi-blue 2 or 3. And that's it. Right now, the sky is as it's been for about 2 months. No features in the sky, no clouds moving around. It's just complete gray, and that's it. You could come here, and you could look around. You wouldn't even know where the sun was. We get no sunshine. Without sunshine, you don't. If you don't have sun getting on your skin, you don't get vitamin D from the sun. The sun provides us with vitamin D. So we all have a deficiency in this country, on this planet for that matter. We have a deficiency of vitamin D. And here I live. This place was never like this. When I first moved here for years, it was beautiful during the summers. Deep blue skies, very few clouds, if any. Even during the winters, I remember even, especially as a kid, I remember when it would get zero or below, there would be no clouds in the sky. Because based on physics and chemistry and that kind of thing, you get to a certain temperature, a certain cold, humidity doesn't exist. And the sun used to be so bright, it would melt the snow on the roofs of our houses, and it would cause these icicles that sometimes would reach from the roofs of our houses down to the ground. Now, I never see icicles on people's houses. Never. Never in the winters. And it's been going on for a long time, 10 or 20 years. And you can say whatever you want about chemtrails. You come here, I'll tell you. You want to write to me? I told you my email address earlier. You want to call in sometime when I start taking callers, whatever. And you want to have a discussion about chemtrails? Let's do it. But what I will tell you, come here and you pitch a tent during, let's say, the summer when it's nice out. Just come here and visit for a few days. And I'll show you planes that fly two different east-west paths, one on one side of my house, one path on the other side, and they fly nonstop all day long. I'm in the middle of nowhere. The closest airport is 50, probably 40 miles at least north of where I live. These planes are not on websites on the internet that show you commercial airlines that are flying around in the country. There are websites like FlightAware.com, something. It's either FlightAware or FlightAware24.com or something. But they're websites you can go to, and you will see every single commercial plane that is actually flying, every single point where it is in the country. Second by second, you'll see those planes moving around. You'll never see planes around here. Never. And yet there are planes constantly flying these same exact paths every single day. And that's when the sky isn't clouded up to the point where you can't see them. You can still hear them. And if you came here today, it's snowing, and the sky will all of a sudden clear up. It'll be all blue, and then all of a sudden the planes come, and it turns gray and silver again, and it starts snowing. The wind picks up, and it instantly gets colder. And that's called an endothermic reaction. Look that up on YouTube. They can make it change frigid fucking cold by adding chemicals from planes into the atmosphere. They spray them out of nozzles. And that may sound nuts, but I'll tell you what. Look up the patents that companies like Raytheon have. Raytheon has patents. And I know what I'm talking about here. Look it up. Raytheon and other companies have gotten patents accepted from the U.S. government where they show that they know how to make tornadoes. They can destroy tornadoes. They can make hurricanes. They can destroy hurricanes. They can cause flooding. They can cause droughts. They can make it snow. They can make it cold. They can make it hot. They can cloud the sky. They can block the sun. Look these things up. These are patents. And you can sit there and listen to this and say, hey, Dan, so what if they got patents? They probably don't use them. Nobody's that evil. Well, let me tell you something, Sunshines. If anybody ever is out there listening to this show, and you've gotten to the point where I'm talking now, nobody in the right mind is going to spend the money to get a patent and go through all the documentation and come up with proof of concept and go to the U.S. government and get a patent and not use it. Nobody is going to do that. We did cloud seeding in Vietnam. Look that up. We made it rain over the Ho Chi Minh Trail over the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War when the North Vietnamese were fighting the South Vietnamese. We made it rain on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. The Ho Chi Minh Trail was used by the North Vietnamese to move vehicles and troops and food, supplies, everything. And our military sprayed chemicals in the air above that area, the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which was a trail. It was through the woods and through their grasslands and everything. And our military made it rain and rain and rain to the point where it was so muddy that the North Vietnamese couldn't move their troops and their trucks and their supplies and stuff anymore because it was so wet with rain and mud and stuff. Look that up. They did that in the Vietnam War. That was in the 60s and 70s. Here we are, what, 50, 60 years later? And we're to believe that the government, our military, hasn't advanced that technology? Look up a document that the Air Force put out called Owning the Weather 2025. Read what they plan on being able to do by 2025. They're using changes in weather as weapons against other countries. That's why it floods in so many places. Why? Because they're figuring out how to use the weather as a weapon. They already pretty much have. And this goes back further than the Vietnam War, by the way. Read up on this stuff. Watch documentaries on TV. The Germans figured out a lot of it. Look at Dubai, the country of Dubai. Dubai used to be a desert. And now they are one of the most traveled to destinations for people on vacations on the planet. They have the machinery in place that makes it rain, so they now don't have desert. They have all green grass, golf courses everywhere, pools, all kinds of really nice vacation places for people to go to. And here we have California being droughted to where farmers have to give up their farmland and stuff because there's no rain. We're talking Southern California. And there's so much in the way of proof of that, that I don't even want to begin to try to talk toward that. I'm sickened by the whole thing. You want to read up on some stuff. There's a YouTube video I posted in my show description, and it is an experiment using endothermic reaction in a test tube in a glass. And all the guy does is he adds a chemical to water, from what I can tell, and pretty much instantly he's able to freeze a glass full of water. Pretty much instantly he turns the glass upside down, and it's all ice, just like that. And these bastards can take that same chemical and fly around in the upper atmosphere, spray it out of their airplanes, and it makes the atmosphere freeze, and rain turns to snow. And it gets really fucking cold real fast. They do that here where I live. And I can always tell when they're doing it because it burns my lungs and I get a real raspy voice like this. And I feel like shit. I get headaches. And so do all the other people around here. Geoengineering and chemtrailing is real. And you better start waking up because it causes cancers. It's destroying trees and crops. We're eating it. We're breathing it. We're drinking it in the water. We're getting aluminum in our bodies and other salts and metals and things. It's absolutely horrifying what's going on around us. And I'm one of so few people who are paying attention to this and trying to do something about it. Anyway, my name's Dan. I go by iPragmatist on the internet. I'm going to be cut off here in about 25 seconds. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope maybe you learned something. I hope I give you food for thought. And like I said, you can email me. You got something you don't like what I said. You want to talk about it, whatever. You know where I am. I don't do these shows very often, but if you want to listen sometime, they archive these shows. Anyway, y'all have a great day, and I'll probably do another show tomorrow.